Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give you praise for your love and your great and mighty love with which you have loved us. We give thanks to you who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Thank you. Thank you for your worship, the sacrifice of your Son that qualified us, that made us sons, that brought us to be, that made us equal, that made us co-heir, joint heirs with the Son, with Christ Jesus. And we give you praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we get into your word again to know better, deeper, wider of the things you've done for us. We ask that our heart, our mind indeed is able to carry the magnitude and the essence of these things, of this understanding and knowledge, the treasure of what that our appreciation of it grows and it gets better and stronger in the name of Jesus. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So we're going to start a new series today that I've called One Christ, One Story. One Christ, One Story is a study of the Old and New Testament, and all we're trying to do, all right, is just to do, to go through the two testaments, all right. Permit us to call it testaments for now, all right, because we're going to clarify what those testaments are as part of this study, and to have a better understanding of what we have therein. Amen. Before we proceed, let me tell us something. One of the reasons why we come to church or why we come to God is not to get anything from Him. One of the reasons. I'll say that better. The reason we come to God is not to necessarily receive anything from Him. The reason we come to Him, brother, you were leading us along those lines on, was that Sunday or Thursday? Or Tuesday, the reason we come to Him is to know Him. The reason we fellowship is to know God. So that when we know God, therein we find everything that we need. It is in that knowledge of God. Praise God. So our coming, our fellowshipping, our prayers, our giving, our worship, our service, all that we do, all right? It's not necessary that, oh, God, if I give you that, then you will give me this. No. It's to know Him. All right? And our goal, our pursuit in life should be to know God, to know Him, so that there's no ambiguity. There's no, I'm not sure. We have that clarity of mind about our faith in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're going to be studying the Old and the New Testament. And the idea is to see the stories there. And again, to see that one story, all the stories that have been told, it's just pointing to the man, Christ Jesus. But then maybe even the title is giving us out. Maybe it's too quick an assumption, because I want us to walk to those conclusions together. Praise God. Now, when we say the Old and the New Testament, let's start our study today. Most believers, they refer to the categorization or the division that we have in our Bible. Who has hard copy? Thank you. All right. So when you see, when we say Old Testament and New Testament, you know, we are quick to go to our, okay, that's Old Testament. And you see, this one is the New Testament. Praise God. That's what comes to mind. Well, you don't blame anybody for that, because that's what we see. I've seen this classification or selection or division of the Bible like this, all right, since I started reading, all right. So Old Testament is Genesis, Malachi, and all of those, all right, and New Testament is Matthew. We even have songs for it, all right. Matthew, praise God. Okay, but then, thank you. One thing you will get to know is that portion of the scripture that we call Old Testament, it doesn't refer to itself as Old Testament. All right? Moses did not call it Old Testament. Obadiah did not say it was writing Old Testament. All right? One thing I want us to know, no writer of the Bible called or divided that Bible that way. It was the Bible translators or Bible collators. Is that a word like that? To collate something? All right? All right? That collated the Bible that gave it the name. Just like the Bible didn't call that son, that child, prodigal. All right? It was a title, the prodigal son. All right? So it's not, so we have so many things like that we've given things in the scripture. All right, but the Bible in itself, we read, or let's call it better, the writer of the Bible, or of those texts that we read, did not really essentially call it those names. I just wanted to start with that because of what we're doing, all right? So when you hear Old Testament, it's not just the first section of the scripture or the second section, all right? What we get to know is that it is a relationship. We're going to get there as we proceed today. Amen. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Because what we get to know is that you will see some people, even in, you know, in the Holy Scriptures, we're going to get there today now, all right, that we call the Old Testament. So let's, because there's no other name that we can call it. Well, there are names for it. We're going to see what the Bible calls it. There's a name for it in the Bible. We're going to see those names, okay? Right? But then, let's go from what we know to the things that we don't know, okay? So let's call it the Old Testament. All right? You will see men of those Old Testament, quote and unquote, all right, that lived in the New Testament, that lived a New Testament life, that had a New Testament relationship. All right? And you will see men of the New Testament, quote and unquote New Testament section of the script of the Bible, all right, that lived in the Old Testament. All right, so the term Old and New Testament is not necessarily a book, all right, it is a mode of relationship. Praise God. Before we get there, also, maybe we're going to get there. So let's read. We will get there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Praise God. Let's start from verse 15. He says, and that from childhood, talking about Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy, he says, you have known the holy scriptures. You have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All right? Now, what did Paul call what Timothy knew? He says, the holy scriptures. So, it is called scriptures. All right? Scriptures. Holy scriptures. So what we refer to today as the Old Testament, all right, Paul will refer to it as the Holy Scripture, meaning it is separated. It is classified, quote unquote, separated. Holy scriptures. Now look at it. Let's read verse 16. It says, All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Did you see that? All right? Now, it says that all of these scriptures, they are given by the inspiration of God. Now, let's take time there. The word scripture there means graphe, like graphics, okay? Things that were scripted, all right? The writing. I want to also see what was inspired by when we say inspire or by the word inspiration, that means something prompted it, something stirred it up. All right. Now I want us to pay attention and look at some point here that when we say scripture, all right, It is the things that were written. The things that were written. Now, I'm about to make a statement here that God is, or God was responsible for the writing of the scripture. Can we agree on that? All right? Responsible in the sense that he inspired Obadiah. He inspired Daniel. He inspired the writers of Psalm, Moses, and all. He inspired, meaning he prompted them to write things down. Pay attention, friends, because I'm about to say something. God is responsible for the writing of the scripture, but God is not responsible for everything that was said in the scripture. All right? Now, I will clarify that. God is was responsible for the things that was said, that was written down. He triggered, inspired, motivated, moved men to write those scriptures down. All right? But then, the things that were being said, and it will be easy to agree, okay? By the time I give you some examples, God was not responsible for all of these statements, the words, the things that were said in the scripture. For example, how many of us know that the devil spoke in the Bible? All right? So the things that the devil said, God is not responsible for that. The devil said it. All right? Unbelievers said things in the Bible that was written down. All right? Many people said many things about God in the devil, unbelievers, the Gentiles, about the, all right? All of those things, all of those events, action, things that happened in the Bible, all right? God wasn't responsible for all of the things. So when you see the Bible is God's word, it's correct, but it's not correct. Right? All right? Because where the devil came to tempt Eve and Adam, you won't hold God responsible for that action. God didn't do that. But God was responsible for the writing, for the scripture of the things that happened. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm starting from here deliberately because they're going to be reading a lot. So it helps us to dissociate God from everything that was said in the Bible. All right. So you want to ask who was talking here? What's the context? Why was this? Who? All right. Because in the Old Testament, you will see prophecies, you will see events, you will see symbols, you will see different things, marriages, things that happened, people, different things that happened. All right. So God was responsible for the scripting, for the writing down of those things. All right. But not the actual things they were said. For example, you know, there's this trend. Maybe COVID and carries will forgive me. All right. When maybe Mama T, you know, comes around to say, I'm going to Paris for my holiday, then you know this latest trend. And you go, clock it. All right? Yeah. All right, I know Karen said that. All right, it's a trend. Now, what God was doing to those men, he was telling them to just clock it. All right? But then, the person going to Paris for his holiday or for a holiday, all right? But God was documenting all of those things. Praise God. All right? So we must separate those things. For example, when we go for a meeting, when we have meetings, all right? Maybe we're talking about different things, but not all the things we said in that meeting was really about that meeting. But everything would be in the what's that thing called? Meeting minutes. You will see it there. All right? So I just want us to start on that note today. Praise God. All right? So God was responsible for the writing. All right? So when we say all scripture, I want us to know the graphe, the writing of it, all right? God was responsible. And we're going to see why. We're going to see those. We're going there to see why were those things written. It's there. Praise God, all right? God wrote them, all right, for a purpose. We're going to see there today, all right? So that word graphe, right, were things that the act of writing, all of those things that were written down, God inspired them, but not the words. Okay, now let's go back to that second Timothy. All right, so that's why you know the idea of today. I don't just want to read my Bible. I will just open to somewhere, and I read. No, you don't read Bible that way. All right, no, we don't read Bible that way. Okay, we are deliberate. We are systematic in the reading of God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So we know all scripture now. We now know what I mean. All the writing down, all right, all the scripture given by the inspiration of God. Now look at it, all right? So all of the things that God wrote down, all of the things that God, inspired to be written down, all right? See what it is for. Now, and we're going to see now. He said it is profitable for doctrine, right? For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Look at verse 15. Let's just read a verse before that. He says, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, the things that were written and were separated, all right, kept, preserved. All right. It says which those things that are kept or they were kept that was kept and preserved. Bible says they are able. Pay attention. They are able to make wise for salvation. What are you talking about? For salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. What? So, and don't forget. Let me say this also. When Paul was referring to Holy Scriptures here, what he was talking about. All right. What he was talking about. Matthew wasn't part of it. Matthew to Revelation was not part of, because those ones will be added later on. All right? You know, the Bible that Jesus used didn't have Matthew to Revelation. The Bible that he preached from, that he quoted from, all right? You know, it's just the Holy Scriptures. All right? So what we call the Holy Scriptures, all right, actually from God's word is Genesis to Malachi. Holy Scriptures. All right? So when you say Holy Scriptures, they are referring to Genesis to Malachi. All right, according to God's word. Now, later on, all right, the New Testament also will later be regarded as scriptures, because Apostle Peter will refer to Paul's writings as scriptures. We're going to get there as part of this study as well. All right, but then the point I'm trying to say is that Paul said, Holy Scriptures, they are profitable for salvation by faith, which is in Christ Jesus. But there's no Jesus, there's no one single mention of Jesus in Genesis, in Exodus, all through to Malachi. But yet, all right, I'm building a case for us, for the need for us to now go there and start reading it well. Because Paul had said that there's Jesus there. There's faith for Jesus. In fact, all through the Holy Scriptures. So we now know the Holy Scriptures now, okay? All through the Holy Scriptures, faith was mentioned twice. Not the New Testament. From Genesis is twice. But yet, it's saying that in therein, we have things, we have content, we have scriptures, scripted things by the Spirit of God that is able to make for salvation. Praise God. So, it calls for us to look at it very well. Another point I want to make quickly here is that every writer of the New Testament, every writer, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, who else wrote? James, who else? The writer of Hebrew, I think those are the Peter, Jude, who else wrote again? All right? Those are the people that, right? It says that Timothy also wrote. But yeah, Timothy wrote. He wrote, actually. Let me show you that quickly. Timothy and Paul and Silvanus, they wrote Thessalonians. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Go to 1 Thessalonians. I just want to show you what I mean by it. The book may not have been named after them, but you see. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Are we there?
Yes.
I want someone to please help me. Help me. Bless you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1.
To the church of Thessalonians in
Did you see the point there? All right. So those are the guys that wrote it. All right. So it's three authors wrote Thessalonians. Okay. Paul, Silvanus. That Silvanus is Silas, actually. It's a Greek way of calling Silas. All right. Bless you. All right. And Timothy. All right. So we have. But then what led us to that point is that all of them, they didn't just come from the blues to start writing. All right. In their writings, in their communications, in their teaching, they picked their understanding, all right, from what we call the Old Testament, okay, from the Holy Scriptures. Every New Testament writer picked their doctrine from these scriptures, these Holy Scriptures. So we need to apply, therefore, the Old Testament with caution, because if you read, you will see the snake talking. You will see, you know, different wars, different battles, different things that happen there. All right. So it tells us to assess it with caution. Second Timothy, again. We are talking about one story, one Christ, one story. And all we are trying to do here is to understand the New Testament, the Old Testament, and bring up studies there that can enhance our walk with God and our faith in Christ Jesus. Look at it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. See what it says. It says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Did you see? All right. So, are you going to agree with me that if Paul gives the instruction that we should rightly divide the word, then there is the likelihood of wrongly dividing the word? And that's what he's warning against. That's what he's giving Paul some precautions against. That, hey, so how did he say he should do that? He should pray more? No. Now, if he's going to rightly divide, what should Timothy do?
Study.
Study. All right. Now that word rightly divide means that you cut it carefully. You take it carefully, and in rightly dividing, you are dividing to an end. All right? In your path being directed, is being directed to an end. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right? So we have a lot of work to do. We have some work to do. So we need to study to show ourselves approved. All right? We need to handle it with caution. All right? And not just jam everything together, put the scripture there, bring a scripture there, and just put it together to make sense. No, we must rightly divide. And again, in dividing, praise God, let me go with this formula. In dividing, there's an end. All right? There's an end. You are cutting through to an end. And what are we cutting through to? We are cutting through to Christ Jesus. Because we know Jesus, maybe I'm concluding now, but then we know Jesus is the central, is the center point of the scripture. Whom you are cutting through to in the scripture, all right, is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Right. Let's look at some assessments of the scripture. Let's put that, before we make those assessments, before we make the assessment, I just want us to read scriptures today and see more understanding. Let's see what people said about the Old Testament or about the Holy Scriptures, all right? About the writings of the Holy Scriptures, about the things that were being written down in the Holy Scriptures. Okay. Now this study is going to have many parts. All right. But this, just take this as the introduction. We are going from the things that we know to the things that we don't know. For example, when we say that God does not kill. But the Old Testament said God killed and God killed him. And a wild bear came from the Lord and killed those men that Elisha, is it Elisha or Elijah now? And fire came from the Lord and killed. Well, but it's there. But we are, but it's there. But we're going to see. We're going to see. Praise God. All right? So we need to, but then we need to see some of these things. So let's see what the Bible says about these Old Testament scriptures. I need to run faster because we must cover the point today. Hebrews chapter 10. Before Hebrews chapter 10, John chapter 1 verse 45. John chapter 1 verse 45. I'll read quickly. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote." Huh. So they wrote Moses in the law and also the prophets, all of them, all right, wrote Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So we see here Philip affirming that whom Moses wrote about, whom all the prophets wrote about, was Jesus. But you never hear one single mention of Moses writing about Jesus Christ. But then the scripture is saying that, so something must have led Philip to making that conclusion. To the end that he's not just persuaded and keeping it, he's now telling Nathanael, "Let's go and meet him. This is the man that all the prophets, Moses in the law." So, praise God. I want us to understand, is this Moses in the law? But I thought Moses was just giving the law, was just, don't wear pink, don't wear blue, don't wear black shoe. I thought that was what Moses was doing. All right? Because if you read that book, that seems to be all that we are reading there. But John is saying, was right, or Philip better. John wrote about Philip, that Philip said that, hey, Moses actually in the law, all right, wrote about Jesus Christ. All right? Let's keep that. And let's see what, so that's what John said, right? About Moses in the law and all of the prophets. What about Paul? Let's see what Paul said. Let's consider what Paul said about the Old Testament. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Please look at this. Let's look at it together. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Is it making sense? Yes, one Christ, one story. All right. All we are doing today is just some sort of introduction. We are going from the things that are so obvious, all right, to the things that are not that clear. But we're going to use the things that are so clear, so undeniable, so clear, all right, to clarify those things that are not clear. Romans chapter 1. I mean, do we have any doubt? Do we have any doubt that Moses, maybe it's too early to conclude, all right? Let's read some more. Let's read about Romans chapter 1. Let's read Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So, again, he calls the Old Testament, all right, the gospel of God, the news of God. Now, look at this news of God. Look at this news of God. Verse 2, he says, this news of God, this gospel of God, which he promised afore. Did you see the point? He promised this afore. Oh, praise God, praise God. He says, by his holy prophets. No, he says, by his prophets in the holy scriptures. Did you see the holy scriptures there again? All right. He says, so in the holy scriptures, in Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Judges, Joshua, Judges, all of those kings and Esther, all of those. All right. He says, God promised this gospel afore. Afore means before time, long ago. Hallelujah. All right. Now, it's not just, it didn't end there. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. Friends, he says, which he promised afore by his prophets in the scriptures. What God promised afore by the prophets in the holy scriptures, what is he about? Look at verse 3. He says, what God promised afore, what God taught about, what God was all about, he says, it is concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. All right? Did you see that point again? Point number two. Okay? What do we do to that? We clock it. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. That's how Carrie taught me how to meal. You know, I'm a Gen Z. I'm trying to comply. Carrie cannot stand me doing that. Carrie has all of the gifts. She will give you. Praise God. All right. Now, let's double up. So, he says, so Philip said it. Paul said it. Let's see what Peter said about it. I mean, we are looking at the writers of the scriptures, what they said about what they read in the old. Don't forget that the Romans, Galatians, all of those, they were not available. So in their assessment of the Holy Scriptures, all they were saying is that it was concerning Christ. It was concerning Christ. All right? Now, Jesus will say that about himself, but we are still living Jesus for now. Let's see what scriptures say. Peter, Apostle Peter. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 10. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 10. It says, of which salvation the prophets have in. Now, if you notice, there is one word that has been coming over and over, all right? Too many words, but you will see prophets, okay? Now, again, we are seeing the prophets here again. The prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come to you. Now, look at it in verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. When it testified aforehand, so it means that the Spirit of God testified beforehand. What was it testifying about? The suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. The suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. Praise God. That's what they were writing about. The suffering of Christ. So they were talking about Christ. Now, Peter will be more specific. That what particularly they were writing about is suffering and the glory that should follow. Praise God. So again, Paul alluding to that fact. Sorry, not Paul. Peter telling us of that fact that it was about Christ's suffering and his glory that should follow. Now, we're still going to come back to some more. Praise God. Why was this written? Let's go to why it was written. Just why. Maybe why, then we'll cover this quickly. Why was... The scripture told us why. We've read one of it. All right? Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, says that all of the scripture... It says, number one, we can find salvation through it, all right? So it's for salvation. It's able to make wise for salvation by faith in Christ Jesus, which is in Christ Jesus. Then verse 16 says that it is profitable for doctrine, profitable for instruction, profitable for reproof, for evidence, profitable for instruction in righteousness. So it means that there are instructions there for us. So it's written for our instruction. But then let's look at some two clear scriptures, why those things were written down. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 10, 11. Paul was writing about the men of the, about men in the wilderness, about the men of the, you know, the Israelites. He says about how they murmured, how they did not believe. Because if you read, he says they were idolaters. He says they were example, you know, of evil, lust, and all. Now look at it. Verse 11. Look at it. He says, now all of these things happened unto them for examples, And what? And they are written, or they were written for our admonition. Now, notice, it wasn't written for our example. We are not supposed to copy them. All right? We are not supposed to copy the things they did. So people that want to dance like David danced. All right? Praise God. Not necessarily. Praise God. But then, he says, it was written down for our... Now, their example is the example of unbelief. Because the example that we have there is the example of unbelief. You want to copy the example of unbelief? No. All right? Paul in Corinthians, we write about... If you read verse 1, 2, 3 to 10, it was talking about how they were not persuaded. They had seen miracles, they had seen all sorts, but they are such an example of unbelief. All right? But all of those were written down for our admonition. What's admonition? Instruction. Our learning. All right? It's written down for our admonition. All right? They were scripted. They became part of the scripture. All right? So that we can be admonished and we can learn, all right, from their examples. All right? We are not copying them. They are not examples to us. No. Because if you read about these men in Hebrews chapter 11, Bible says all of these men, all right, Bible says that, though they by faith, they did all they did, but it says they did not obtain the promise. That God kept something even better for us. Hallelujah. That they were even looking up to us. We can't be their example. They can't be our example. All right? We can learn from them. All right? We can read about, like we are reading about them now. All right? But they are not our example. No. They are not our example. All right? But it was written for our admonition. Our admonition. Now, that's why it was written. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Look at that. Look at that. Let's read some more again. Romans 15, 4. Romans 15, 4. What are we doing today? We are learning our God more. We want to understand His word. We want to understand Him better. Praise God. One of the key things in this that I've said earlier, that not all of the scriptures, all right, all of the things that were said in the Holy Scriptures, all right, was inspired by God. But all of the things that were scripted was inspired by God. We're going to see some bits here quickly. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. It says, whatsoever things were... Can you see the word written? Written, written. All right? It was written. Now, whatsoever things were written aforetime. Aforetime means that the prophet wrote before our time. It says, were written for what? For our learning. Excuse me. It says, it was written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, of the things that were written down, might have hope. Can you see the point? All right? By the things, right, which was written down, through patience and comfort, we might have hope. Praise God. So why was it scripted? Number one, for salvation, right? I'm just trying to pull all of those scriptures together for salvation, right? It was written down because they are profitable for doctrine, for instruction, right? It was written down for evidence, right? For doctrine, for teaching. It was written down for, what did we read in 1 Corinthians? For admonition, right? For reproof, thank you, all right? It was written down now for learning. We've read that from Romans chapter 15, verse 4. It's for our learning, so we can learn from them. Praise God. Now, let's push it forward a little bit. All right? Let's push it forward a little bit. A little bit. I want us to see what Jesus said about the law. Now, before we even get to the law, all right? You know, Genesis, we're going to do this more next week. We're going to trace the point when the law started. You know, the law did not start in Genesis. The law came later. So, when we say Moses in the law, you know, Genesis is out of it. Yet, though Moses wrote the law, and Moses wrote Genesis rather, all right? But when you say Moses in the law, okay, that law will start not even the first chapter in Exodus. It will start at the point when Moses came back from the mountain And he gave them that testament. That's the point when the law started. All right? So there is a period where there's no law. There is a period of law, all right, and there's a period. There's a period that Jesus came and all of those. So we're going to study all of those. Amen. But I want to also see what Jesus said. What Jesus said about the law, about the law. Matthew chapter. We're going to read back and forth. Okay, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. So you see Jesus, you know, correcting some things. You see Jesus correcting certain part of the things that were scripted. All right? So some people say, oh, there's contradictions, that we have contradictions in the scripture. Well, that's because you've not really read it properly. Or there's a context behind it. There's an understanding behind it, all right, that we may need to understand properly so that all of those, contradictions, all right, will just dissolve. Matthew 5, verse 21. Jesus speaking. And we notice Jesus was teaching here. All right? So when we say that, and when Jesus was teaching, we're going to see where he was teaching from. When Jesus was teaching, we're going to see where he was teaching from. So this is part of his sermon on the mount. He says, you have heard it, that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in the danger of judgment. Where will you find this? Exodus now. We're going to read it. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20. Jesus, all right? He says, I just want to read that place again. All right, it says you have heard it. I'm reading 21 again, Matthew 5, 21. You've heard it that, you know, you should not kill. If you kill, you'll be in the danger of judgment. He says, but I say to you, so he's changing some things, but I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in the danger of the council, you know, and all, okay? But then, it's there in the Bible. Exodus 20. Let's go to Exodus 20. Verse 13. It's very straightforward. It says, thou shalt not kill. So do you assume that Jesus was teaching from the law, from Exodus? Yes, he was. All right? But he corrected it slightly, all right, to say that, I will tell you more about it. Now, verse 27. Matthew 5:27. Again, Jesus speaks another. He says, you have heard it. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's what Moses said. Praise God. And you can find that in Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. See what Jesus said. He says, but I say to you that whosoever looks at a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. All right? Now, and he's saying, if your right eye will offend you and all. Now, what I'm trying to say is that you see Jesus referring to it, but then making some corrections slightly. All right? Adding to it, clarifying there. Now, Matthew chapter 5, verse 31. It says, it has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Verse 32. But I say to you, that whosoever shall put his wife away, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery. Praise God. Now, that's Jesus clarifying that. All right. That you can find in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1. All right. Verse 33. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. Again, you have heard that it had been said of them of old time, thou shalt not swear by yourself. For but shall perform unto the Lord your oaths. He says, but I say unto you, don't even swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is the throne of God. Again, you can find that in Exodus 20, verse 7. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. Now, what I'm trying to do is to point out how Jesus referred to those scriptures and how he assessed it. Praise God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 now. You have heard it. You have heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you that, I mean, you can see, he's saying that, hey, it's been said, but I am saying to you, see what Jesus is saying, all right? But I say to you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Praise God. All right? Now, it's all there in the scripture. Let me give you the reference to that. It's in Exodus chapter 21, verse 24. Then Leviticus chapter 24, verse 20. Let's read the last bit in that section. Matthew 5, 43. You have heard it. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But then look at it. Now, I'm going to explain this. Again, you can find that in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17 to 18. All right? Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 3 to 6. But let's pay attention. Let's pay attention. Let's see how Jesus explained this. Verse 44. See what Jesus said. See Jesus' contrast to that scripture. All right? He says, love your enemy. Love your neighbor. Hate your enemy. But see what Jesus said. And it's important so that we know exactly that all the things that were said, God is not responsible for it. But the writing, he was responsible. Verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. That's different from what Moses said. All right? But it was written anyway. Someone will say, oh, there's contradiction. No, you need to read properly. Pray for them that despisefully use you. Now look at it. Verse 45. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. See what God does. For he makes his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So when Moses wrote that you should love your enemy and love your friend, love your neighbor, hate your enemy, was he really representing God? Because Jesus will now tell us that, hey, to be the son of your Father, God does not do it that way. So we need to take the words of Jesus, all right, and let it explain the scripture to us. Praise the Lord. We still have some distance to cover. Let's quickly do it. So we've seen, let me show you two more. Jesus correcting some notions. You know, what we get to know, sir, is that it wasn't Jesus alone that started correcting. They started correcting themselves, even in the Old Testament. Ezekiel came. He said, what is this law? What is this parable that I've had in Israel that has been said for? He says, it will no longer be said in Israel. All right? That the fathers, you know, committed the offense. And he says, it won't be like that. That's a correction. Because it was said like that. It used to happen. But so that correction about, you know, things that people said in the scripture, all right, the correction of it started earlier. But let's see two more corrections of Jesus particularly. We're going to touch on those later. Matthew chapter 19, verse 3 to 9. Matthew 13, 3 to 9. Again, it's about marriage. You know, a man putting away his wife, you know, and all. Okay? Verse 7. Let me just verse 7. They said to him, why did Moses then commanded us to give a writing of divorcement? Pay attention. so that you can understand why Moses wrote the way he wrote, okay? All right? Because at times, we may not be fair to Moses at times. We just say, oh, Moses, what he said? No. All right? See how Jesus defended Moses and what he said happened between Moses and the children of Israel, why he gave them what he gave them. Moses said to them, they said unto him, why did Moses then commanded to give a writing of divorcement and put I away? See what Jesus said. He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. So it means that Moses had preached to them the grace of our Lord Jesus, but they wouldn't believe. He had preached to them, but they would not believe. All right. He will now give them a law. Because what God was going to do, he was going to do it through Israel anyway. He needed that law to keep them, to check them, to put, because those guys, they were going to mess up things. They were not going to, we're going to get there. God told Moses, go and tell all of them that I want to make the entire nation a nation of priests. They told Moses, go back and tell God, we don't want, you go and do it. And Moses said, okay, that's what he said, okay. He will now select Aaron and his family and all. So that's not the original plan of God. It was because of the hardness of their heart, all right, why Moses now commanded them, all right, to put away Israel. Let's look at some other one. Luke chapter 9. We've always referred to this. Luke chapter 9, verse 54. Luke chapter 9, verse 54. We all know the story. All right, Jesus was going to go to a place in Samaria. All right, but then some of the people there blocked his way, right, and they would not let him go. Verse 54. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? Again, look at it. They were referencing the scripture. But Jesus, in verse 55, he turned and rebuked them. Can we say he turned and corrected them? Can we say he turned and put an exception? All right? He put that and said to them, you know not what manner of spirit you are. Verse 56. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. Did you see the point? All right? So the Son of Man did not come to destroy life, but to save life. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just put some things together. We're going to continue from there next week. All right? Let's now see how Jesus himself, what he said about the Holy Scriptures. What Jesus said about the Holy Scriptures. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 35. John 5, 35. 39, rather, sorry, 39. John 5, 39. See what he said. He says, you search the scripture. Again, what scriptures are these? The Holy Scriptures, inspired by God, all right, said by men, but inspired. God inspired men to write it down. All right. So he says they were searching that scripture that God inspired to be written down, because in them they thought, they think they would have eternal life. But it says, and these were they. He says, and they are they. Now when he say they are they, what does that mean? It means not everything testifies about me. There are some. Can we put it that way? The scriptures, are they the content, the bit that testifies about me? All right? But it says that they will not come. But it says that they will not come, praise God, all right, to him so that they can have eternal life, so that they can have life. Hallelujah. So Jesus said that those scriptures, they testify about him. Luke chapter Luke chapter 24. We're wrapping up shortly. We're just looking at the things that are so obvious about the Holy Scriptures, about the Bible. They're going to build on this as we continue in this study. Luke chapter 50, chapter 24. Let's start from verse 24. 25. Just to save time. 25. Jesus, we know the story, so I just go straight into the point. Then Jesus said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." He says, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory?" Now look at it. Pay attention. Look at it. Now, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. So when you say Moses and all the prophets, what do we call that? What other name have we called that today? Holy Scriptures. So Jesus, pay attention. Jesus putting all of the Holy Scriptures together, because he says they are they that testifies of me, putting them together, he expounded unto them in the Scriptures, all right, in the Holy Scriptures, the things concerning himself. So Jesus will give us some understanding of how to assess the Holy Scriptures, all right, because he will now assess to us the things concerning himself. Praise God. Verse 45. Let's look at verse 45. Again, he came to other people. Look at it again. Verse 44. Verse 44. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written." Look at that word, written. Written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the psalm concerning me. Did you see? Now verse 45 is so instructive. 45. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. So there's a way to comprehend the scripture. There's a way to put, to the word comprehend means to put it together. To have a, an understanding. To be able to put the scripture together. Alright? So there is, you know this. When we're doing, like, you know, what's that thing called? That thing that you need to, when you're doing mathematics. Four-figure table. Thank you. All right. Hello, how are you? Four-figure table, right? You will need to check, then you will rule this way. You will now trace it. If you mistrace, you will get it wrong. All right? You will trace. Now, there are so many figures there, but not all of the figures are the figures. All right, there are things you need to know. I've forgotten. There's something you need to trace it this way. Then you now need to rule it 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, and that is the answer. That was what Jesus did for them. All right, he opened their understanding. All right. It means that there is a way. So you don't just read the scripture and just read everything. No, there is a way to read the scripture, all right? Because Jesus, we saw Jesus' example now. He will help them, okay, to understand the scripture. So in putting it together now, not all the things there were about him, all right? Not all the things there, to be clear. Not all the things in the Old Testament were about Christ Jesus. All right? There are some things that are just events, all right? You know, that, okay? But there are things, and a lot of them, all right, that are concerning Christ Jesus, all right? I wrote some things here, that the Bible is a Christocentric book. Its focus is to reveal Christ, all right? And that we should not be lost in all of the stories. You know, I wrote some things there, and I'm just being mischievous here, all right? You know, forgive my mischief, okay? He said, when someone says the governance structure of Joseph, you know, let's study Joseph so that we know that's not what that scripture is for. All right? What the scripture reveals to us is the suffering of Christ. Don't forget, they've told us, all right? Or we want to study the leadership structure of Moses, how it divided. Now, that we may study that, but that is not in our assessment of the scripture, in seeing what the holy apostles, what they did, in what Jesus himself did, all right, he studied the things concerning himself. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. So, this scripture is about Christ. Is about Christ. Hallelujah. It's about Christ. Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to wrap up on that note today. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 1. Don't forget what we are studying. One Christ, one story. A study of the Old and New Testament. Look at it. It says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So, now, we're going to get to that point in this study that we know, sir, you know there are prophecies in the Holy Scriptures, all right? And there are shadows in the Holy Scriptures. And there are poems, there are figurative expressions, all right? But then we need to know that those prophecies, they are not figure of speech. They are prophecies to happen. But we have shadows and all. So you see God talking to different men through the prophet, writing things down, all right? Communicating through the prophets to the fathers, all right? By the prophet. Now look at it in verse 2. Our assessment, our lens, the window through which we now see things. God, in verse 2, as in these last days. Now, last days, there will be finally, the finality. There's nothing more to be said after this. There's no more revelation after this. So if you see, oh, that I just came from one mountain, I've got a super revelation for you. There's nothing more to be said. God has said finally in these last days, all right? And how did he speak in the last days? Or finally, he spoke to us by whom? By his son. Again, whom he appointed the heir of all things. I've told us once, all things that have been said. All right? Through whom he also made the world, meaning he, the God. All right? So it was through Christ, it was because of Christ that God made the world. Verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, and the expression, and the express image of his person, and uphold all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat at the right hand of the majesty on high. So, Jesus today becomes to us the clearest notion, the clearest revelation, the perfect explanation of God. I make bold to say that Jesus is the explanation of everything. Verse 3, all right? It says, through whom he made the world. Jesus is the explanation for the world. It was because of Jesus that God made the world. It was the logic in God's mind when he was making things was Christ, is Christ, will be Christ. Hallelujah. All right? So it is through him, therefore, that we can understand. So we don't know God. Someone says, I want to come to God. Oh, I just want to come to God. You can't come to God without Christ. So if you know God outside of Christ, you've not known God. All right? So because all of the things that were being said, Christ is the owner. Christ is the heir of all the things that are being said. Hallelujah. And we will listen to Christ's correction or Christ's rebuke or Christ's exception or Christ saying, you've had it, you know, you've had it, they've said it this way, but I'm telling you. Then you listen to the man. All right? Because he's the expression. He's the brightest expression of God to us. Hallelujah. There's no doubt that the men of the Old Testament, they had a wrong, and I say that, you know, I say that not to judge them. All right? Because there's a way you can talk about Moses. I would say Moses was faithful in all his doings. He did well. But then, you know, and again, because the revelation of God is progressive, all right? So we can, based on that, I'll say this, that they had a limited knowledge of God. Let me tell us something as we close today. Have you noticed that it was as if the devil went on holiday throughout Old Testament? Right? You won't even see him at all. Well, maybe in one or two occasions. But whereas, all of those unbelief, all of those hardness of heart, All right? So, but that, and all of those things, they will attribute it to God. They said, a wild beast from the Lord. How can God send a bear to kill children? That's not God. All right? New Testament will tell us better. Praise God. So as we progress in this study, we're going to see the idea is just for us to pick studies about the Old Testament and through the light of what we know from Christ, all right, explain those thoughts better. Amen. We're going to stop now. And I just want us to pray, just in a second or in a minute rather. Now, Lord, I know you better. My eyes of understanding is enlightened. Your knowledge, the light, your revelation, the revelation of God in you, it permeates my heart through and through and through. In the name of Jesus. I'm not stuck in the Old Testament. I'm not stuck in a limited understanding of you. I open up my heart to your Holy Ghost to fill my heart with the revelation knowledge, to fill my heart with your passion, with your truth, with your will and your ambition. In the name of Jesus Christ. I see you the way you see me. In the name of, I see myself exactly in you. I'm not carried away with the stories of the Holy Scriptures. I'm able to see your revelation in therein, in the name of the Lord. I see the revelation of Christ, and I build my life accordingly, in the name of the Lord. Thank you, great and mighty Father. We give you praise. We give you honor. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.